alcoholic.
Yeah.
It's good to see you guys, and welcome to the three guys that are in their first 30 days. And if you're anything like me, you're not happy to be in Alcoholics Anonymous for sure. And I'm grateful that I'm sober. I've been sober since March 19th, 2006, and I have a sponsor. It's Tim K. And he's sitting here tonight. I'm here with my brother Rob, and I'm grateful that I'm sober. And if you're new here or struggling, I've been sober for a little over 19 years, and I've probably done everything wrong you can do in Alcoholics Anonymous. The only thing I can take credit for is a real 100% first step, and I haven't taken a drink. I've been away from meetings. I've sponsored myself for a time. I've, struggled with the steps in every form. But, I'm reminded all the time that, in the 12 and 12 and the sixth step, it talks about the difficulty of the sixth step, but it makes reference to the first. And it says that only the first step, where we made the 100% admission that we're powerless over alcohol, can be practiced with perfection. And the remaining 11 steps represent perfect ideals. There are goals towards which we look, and there are measuring sticks which we estimate our progress. I try to remember that. I was lucky and guarded that I did a real 100% first step. And if you're new here to Alcoholics Anonymous, I hope that for you. If you do that, then, there's somebody in Alcoholics Anonymous that can help you along the way. And I certainly would have benefited for better actions in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I would have got more peace of mind. I came here for defense against the first drink. And I stayed here from what a guy named Frank Jones used to talk about as a quiet mind and a calm stomach. And he said that AA gave him the ability to live reasonably comfortable outside of these rooms most of the time. And, Frank gave, to me, the best estimation of the 12 steps, or the best explanation of the 12 steps I've heard in my sobriety. Very, very simple. And that's what AA does for me. It gives me a quiet mind and a calm stomach, and allows me to do things I'm not comfortable with. I'm not comfortable here right now. And this is contrary action for me to speak at an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. It always has been. So I was born up in Northern California in Marin County, but I grew up in the San Fernando Valley in Los Angeles. And my parents are Irish Catholics from back east. And I heard about the disease of alcoholism long before I started drinking, and my dad's a pull-up, your bootstraps kind of guy, and a stoic and an atheist, and believes that alcoholics lack discipline. And my mom, on the other end of the spectrum, comes from a very alcoholic family. My uncle died on and off the streets. My grandfather was a violent alcoholic. I got two cousins in AA that were as stubborn as me. And the first time I ever heard about the disease concept was actually from my mother, who thought the genetics in my family was like one negative petri dish that was eventually going to affect me if I drank improperly. She was always trying to warn me about it. And, I use my two brothers as an example. For some reason, they do life very level, And for me, I'm either very uncomfortable or fearful of stuff, or doing something very extreme. I don't do, the midway very well. The line between people who are heavy drinkers and alcoholics is a blurred line, and I'm sure my brothers drank for the same reason I did, which is to get a sense of ease and comfort. I was somebody that was uncomfortable in a room. I couldn't talk to people. I couldn't deal with people. My mind would think and rethink and rethink again about the thinking and why I thought in the first place, and over again. When I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, they would talk about, I fought the similarities for a long time. I came in here and I couldn't believe that resentment was the number one offender. That sounded really Freudian to me. I didn't believe I really owed anybody amends, because I thought I gave people fair warning before it happened. And but one thing I did identify with is self-obsession, self-centered, self-seeking. And that's the root of my problem. And if you're new here, to me it's very simply explained as somebody who's overly concerned with their own affairs with little or no concern for others. And that's been my entire life. And it's usually been in the no concern, not the little concern. So, I started drinking when I was 14, and, I drank for the same reasons everybody else did. And, that's the first time I can remember getting drunk. And, I was able to go to a football game and talk to a girl and be around people and feel invincible. Alcohol gave me the ability to not care. And for me, I just, you know, my alcoholic story is really simple. It's fun, fun with problems, and all problems. So at the beginning of my drinking, it gave me that sense of ease and comfort. At the end of my drinking, you know, I had a lot of physical problems. The doctors would draw my blood and think I had hepatitis C and start asking me about intravenous use. And I would say, you know, I kind of drank a lot. I had bad alcohol withdrawal. My career was in a mess. I didn't have family problems because I was living by myself. And when my friend first showed me those 20 questions, I would look at those questions and go like, man, are you really desperate for people to go to Alcoholics Anonymous? These are pretty general questions. One of them was, do you drink alone? And I looked at the guy and I said, Charles, I live alone. You know, what am I supposed to do, call a neighbor to come over? And so I fought any type of similarity. And, the end of my drinking, you know, I was talking to a guy that's from Redondo Beach. You know, I would go in the morning and drink at the Anza Inn in Redondo Beach. And I was 32, 33 years old, and they would slide a whiskey shot over, and my hands would shake so bad I couldn't drink it. So I'd have to slurp up the whiskey. And, you know, I would always say tomorrow's the next day. Every alcoholic should have on their gravestone tomorrow, or missing the point. You know, that was the kind of whole point of my drinking. And I knew some people in Alcoholics Anonymous. I worked with some guys that were in Alcoholics Anonymous. I had been to an AA meeting out in the valley, and it was affiliated with the Pacific Group. And, but I didn't stop drinking then. You know, a friend of mine bought me a book, and he said, hey, I want you to read this book, and I'm going to pray that you find yourself in there. And I did. I love meetings that read Chapter 3 more about alcoholism. That's all I needed to hear. And I did everything in there and ad infinitum times 3 to not go to Alcoholics Anonymous. I went to psychologists, I went to doctors, and they were all telling me the same thing. You need to go to Alcoholics Anonymous. And I landed in the Pacific Group, which that was my first exposure to Alcoholics Anonymous. It's hard to remember. It's a suggestive program when you go to the Pacific Group. But I got good structure there, and I'm the type of alcoholic that needed that structure. And I landed in there, and that group kind of took over my life. And I didn't know how to do anything not being drunk. I couldn't watch TV and not be drunk. I didn't know how to drive a car and not be drunk. I didn't know how to have a conversation. Everything in my life revolved around drinking. And, I just did one little action at a time. You know, the good thing about this program for somebody like me, if you're new here, is that, you know, my friend Bob in the South Bay always says, belief is not a requirement. You know, prayer is a tool, and if you use it, it'll work. And if you looked at those 12 steps with me, I had a problem with almost everything after the first step. You know, I always say that my first sponsor, like, I wouldn't say he was completely disinterested in how I felt or thought, but he was generally disinterested in how I felt or thought. And that was good for me. And, like I said, I did a 100% first step that guarded me against a drink. But as one of my friends says, we talk about the disease doing push-ups in Alcoholics Anonymous. And a friend of mine said that he believes his disease is reading books. And that's what it was for me, because it started to whisper to me that I didn't need to go to as many meetings, that, you know, I didn't necessarily need to do what everybody did in Alcoholics Anonymous. And by the time I was in my 13th year of sobriety, it's been described to me that I was acting pretty crazy. And I probably wasn't a safe person to stand next to in a grocery store line. And that's when Tim, who's known me my whole sobriety, brought me back to Alcoholics Anonymous and said, hey, if you do the things you did at the beginning, it's going to work for you just like it did. And I'm lucky I didn't pick up a drink. If you're new here, we were, hanging out, Rob and Tim and I, talking about seconds and inches in Alcoholics Anonymous and all the missed stuff that we had out there when you're drinking. You know, if you're new here and you haven't had one of those yet, I can assure you there's some terrible consequences to alcoholism. We just lost a guy in the South Bay that I've been watching die over the past year. He left 3 kids, and he had at one point a significant amount of sobriety, but he just could not surrender to Alcoholics Anonymous. I encourage you to do that. I was not a believer when I got here. I would hear people say, all my solutions lie in the steps, and AA is the best thing that ever happened to me. And I thought I could say that, but I would never believe that. If you're new here, AA is the most important thing I've ever done in my life as a human being. It's the best thing that ever happened to me, and all my solutions lie in the steps. So thanks for letting me share.